It's Sunday morning,
July 20th.
Maybe. Yeah. Lord, we ask for your blessing. Ask for your blessing on our time together, Lord. That we would be, if there is some discouragement or whatever in our life, oh Lord, that we would be able to receive of your goodness, that we would be able to draw strength from your goodness, that we would be encouraged by your love, your truth, O Lord, that we would be fed by your word. Do that good, sweet work here today, Lord, and in our lives just generally, do that good, sweet work, O Lord, and that we would be your arm extended, that if there is stuff that you have for us to do, that we would be alert to knowing what that stuff is, and that we would rely on you in knowing that, no, we can't do it, but with you we can. Cause that good work to be done by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Once my mother heard that song, she sang it to my brother and I. You know, I'm only like 5 years old at the time, but she sang it to us about every night. And the world conditions were such, because of Hitler, that my mother and dad were panicky. You know, we lived way out in the boonies, but not much communication with anybody. But it was kind of like, what happens next? The monsters, you know, he just caused the Holocaust, and he's gassed people, and he'll kill his own people. I mean, he was a monster. And so they were afraid. And as a matter of fact, this Yule, what was his name, Kiltzer, the one from Alaska, what is this called? The Homestead, is it Homestead something? Well, anyway, he moved. He was from Switzerland, and he moved to Alaska, way out in a remote part. And now that it's called there, they have movies of it. And but he moved out there because he thought he wants to get as far away from Hitler as he can, because like my parents, he was convinced that Hitler was going to one day rule the world, and what kind of a hell that was going to be. And they call it, what is it, the last frontier or something they call it? But but anyway, I woke up the other morning kind of remembering that song. I've got a pretty good memory, even of things when it happened to me when I was little. And I just, you know, I was kind of broken up. I just, I said, I'd like to hear that song. There'll be, you know, the Germans had taken over the land of Dover, or whatever it was there, and so that's what that song was all about, and it meant a lot to my mother and to us, and even though I was too little to really know what was going on, but I tell you, I can remember the rejoicing when that war was over with, you know. I'll never forget that. And we didn't think it was going to end that way.
does make a real good stand-in for how life can be pretty bad in some instances for us here, and how it will be so, so good.
Yeah.
And the song we're talking about is When Bluebirds Fly Over the White Cliffs of Dover. How it will be so, so good there in heaven. And yeah, I am so looking forward to it. And it would have been, you know, probably we've never had in the last 100 years anything quite so equivalent to the difference between earth and heaven as the World War II going on and Hitler raging, and then having him defeated and having their peace.
Yeah. A lot of there's a lot of people that didn't feel it was going to end that way. I mean, it didn't appear to be, you know. And I remember at 5 or 6 years old, the fear that I had. And of course, it was because of my parents, you know. And there was no way they could hide it. And but anyway, I woke up with that on my mind the other morning, and I thought, you know, I want to just share a little bit about it.
It meant an awful lot to the British people at that time, and the woman who sang it was just a such an encouragement to the British people to stand too.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I don't know what the deal was with the Bluebirds, but I know that Dover had been conquered or something, and she was saying the Bluebirds are going to fly over it again. I think that's what she was saying. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was little at the time.
Well, I think Bluebirds are the Bluebirds of Happiness. I think that was, you know, kind of how it was. I've watched, I love old classic movies, so I've watched a lot of different movies. And it's hard to fathom anything like that happening now, which of course it wouldn't because of the technology, but to be that regiment that you, you can't have any light show out of your house. If you are, you're fined. I mean, it was. I mean, we didn't know what was going to happen in the United States. And actually, my mother worked with a woman who was from Germany and lived there during World War II. And the stories that she told were just, you can't even fathom what you see. So when you see the destruction like that happened in Florida when that condo fell, that's the things that were happening in England on a daily basis, except it was bombing, you know. And so it was like, oh my gosh, you know, just, you know,
well,
how do you live?
I need to finish the story.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And when I was 10 years old, my grandpa, who liked to fish, had a giant cane pole. And he'd come over to our house, and we'd go down to the lake, and he pushed a wheelbarrow, and he'd catch fish and put them in the wheelbarrow, and he'd have it full.
Oh.
You know how many fish that is?
About how many
chuck catches? It was probably more, maybe as chuck as a shot. And anyway, he made a statement to me that I'll never forget. And he says, you know what? He says, you don't really have to worry about Russia. And you don't really have to worry about Germany. And you don't have to worry about Japan. But I'll tell you who who'd be concerned about. The Chinese. That's 70 years ago. It's almost like a prophecy.
Yeah.
I remember somebody telling me that the yellow race was going to rule the world in the end.
Yeah. Where did you hear that?
They said it was in the Bible, and I never saw it, but it was like when I was in school.
Because I've heard that, but I didn't know where I heard it.
I
was afraid of communism. So, anyways, I didn't mean to bring us a downer.
Boomers are happy.
Well, there is great hope in that song.
Yeah.
Great hope in that song. And if we don't have hope, we ain't got much.
No. It brought a lot of hope to my mother. You know. She had a real nice voice. She sang it. She would always sing it. But anyway, she... Oh, thank you. I can still hear her singing it. We live way out in the boonies and no electricity. And a radio that worked off a battery when the battery had the energy in it. So we never even knew what was going on.
Self-reliant back at that time than, you know, we figure, they run the farm when the men haul off and go to war.
Yeah.
They're working in factories.
Yeah. Their lives change so much. We'll see the river. Right. And now the bird got us.
Anyway, I'm glad that God gives us hope. But I realize that, you know, I've had some difficulties in the last year because of the obvious future. And not so much for myself, because I'm not going to live that much longer, but the little ones and the conditions are scary, scary conditions. And, but at the same time, God doesn't want us to be fearful. And, it's been a battle with me. But I I'm not really fearful. I don't want to sound like that. I have a lot of hope. And
well, you know, I get a lot of encouragement out of that story at the end of Luke about the disciples on the way to Emmaus, you know. And they were all depressed and dejected, you know. They thought that here they had such hope for this man that was going to be the Messiah, and then he got crucified. You know, they thought he was going to be the great hope of Israel. You know, then those hopes got ruined, got dashed, and little did they know that. That was, that was just the fulfillment of their hope. It wasn't that their hope was false, it was just the fulfillment. Not the way they imagined, but it was the fulfillment of their hopes. And I just see that as something that can happen today. We think that it's all gone, all wrong, all bad, all, you know. All it is just the way the Lord is unfolding his plan, and it has to be this way in order to get to the very, very, very good place that he wants for us to be in, you know. We have to remember that that's the way the Lord does things. That's how he operates.
That, you know, share. Wasn't so sure because I only had one small, tiny vision once, but I had a dream here last week. And sometimes if you take something like a little sleep help, you can have more dreams, kind of. But this was towards morning, so I figured, well, maybe the effects of anyway. What was funny about it is it goes up, it's like another dream like Keith had about this place. And I remember it was all full, and there was some of us. The only part that I, you know, was a little sketchy about, because I think there was still a pulpit or whatever. But then I thought about it, I thought, well, it could be that you would have to start out that way. Because what it was is they were here because they had heard that there was something going on here. And so different ones were going to share. But I remember I felt really compelled that I wanted to explain a little history of why we were where we were, you know, and how we got to where we were by, you know, that Keith heard the voice and all that, you know, and where we had come from, you know, having a moon and all that. So it just kind of went along with, you know, the time. That was you that saw that, wasn't it? That we were speaking to, all of us would be speaking at different times to people. And so I was a little thrown by the pulpit, and I thought, well, no, they had just come. And so we had to kind of set the stage, you might say, and then after that, you could just be groups, you know, whatever. It didn't matter. It's just the fact that we were going to share with people that were excited and hungry to hear what was, you know, the thing about truth, I guess. And then there was another little aspect, which I'm not going to go into right now, because I got to pray on that a little more, but there was another thing that ended up in the end of that, and it was kind of funny because it made me think of a certain thing in the natural, and it made it look like this was the spiritual side of it. But I just want to pray on a little more about that one. But.
Oh, you shouldn't tell us anything.
Come back next week.
You know, when you haven't hardly ever had any dreams or anything, you're a little, you know, unsure.
I'm giving you a hard time, Ken.
No, I know. Well, I tell you that if it comes about, it can't be anything but good. So.
The man that wrote the song "It Is Well With My Soul," you know, it's hard to imagine that he ever wrote that. Mm-hmm. He lost his wife and kids at sea, and he wrote that "It Is Well With My Soul." God had to do something special in him to ever come up with that.
Yeah. You know, that's one part about death, that we let the natural realm have way too much precedence in.
I agree with that.
You know, because actually, if you have loved ones and you know they're, especially little children, you know they're going to be with the Lord. Now, of course, it's a loss, but it's a gain for them. You know, or any of your loved ones, if you lose them and you know they were, you know, connected to the Lord, well, that's a good thing. You know, really.
Why would you not want your loved ones in heaven?
Yeah.
With the Father.
Right. But the earth, you know, the natural puts so much emphasis on grief and sadness and, oh, how could that happen, da-da-da. But if you're connected to the Lord, it's a much better picture, you know.
Our ancestors had such a better idea regarding death than we do. And of course, why wouldn't they? The world today thinks this is the whole game. There's no heaven.
Yeah.
Our ancestors knew that there was a heaven. So, yeah, and you're absolutely right. We must not buy into the world view.
Yeah.
We must not buy into that.
It's a lot easier for the world to exploit it today, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's a lot easier, period. I mean, life back all the time, every day, surviving, having enough food. I mean, there wasn't a refrigerator to store it up. I mean, if it was 100 degrees outside, it was hot. You know, if you wanted to go a mile and a half, you needed an animal, you know what I mean? Life is tough.
That's why it's tough.
It's perfect. It's also why.
It's funny, in the last few years, I've started considering some drive that I have in me that, you know, I'm thinking, oh, geez, now I just said what I said, but why do I have such a strong desire to survive, you know? But that's got to be, God wouldn't have allowed that if it wasn't for a reason,
yeah.
You know? I mean, for one, I think if you're looking forward to always seeing the next day, you're somewhat positive in the fact that, you know, you have a positive outlook, you know? And you don't want to dwell on death. That's, you know, I mean, like he says, well, I know I'm getting closer and I should hurry up, but, you know.
Well.
Is he getting into space? Will help us get into space.
Wow.
And if there is stuff that he would have us to do in the here and now,
yeah.
Hey, I want to be alive and do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to miss out on that.
And, I mean, some of that is relying on what I feel was put on me for something that still hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, right.
You know? So.
To be the best prepared to be used for God, however God chooses to use you.
Yeah.
There's a scripture in Hebrews, I want to say 3:25, I'm not sure. But it says that, that he came to deliver those who through fear of death were all of their lifetime in bondage. If we have a fear of death, we got a problem. Because it is appointed unto men, you know, they're going to die at some point. And I have said, you know, that there is no fear of death in me, and there isn't. And of course, nobody wants to suffer, but there really isn't. I just I want to go to be with the Lord as soon as possible.
You got to wait till your work here is done.
Yeah, but you got to wait.
With patience.
Yeah.
I was looking for a certain setting this morning, and I came across another scripture that I even had it underlined, but I just never met it. Didn't hit me quite the same as it. You know, it just keeps confirming his humanity. So in John 6:57, as the living Father sent me, and here was the part, and I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. You know, that's kind of making a separation there, isn't it? I'm only alive because of the Father, not because I'm equal Godhead or whatever, you know.
He shares that with us.
Yeah. I live because of the Father. And I think he even read another one somewhere in there, too. Just things the way they're said. Well, he was sent me. Sent.
Yeah.
You know, that's not somebody.
It's not went.
Yeah.
It's sent.
Yeah. It's not somebody acting on his own divine power.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
He's being obedient.
A few years ago, I saw the scripture in the third chapter in 3 John. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And so I had my granddaughter made that picture. I don't know where she found it. And she put it on there, and I made copies of that, and I sent it to lots and lots of my relatives. And I went to a funeral just a few weeks ago and my brother-in-law. And anyway, that was on that
the program?
The program, yeah. And I was surprised. I thought, you know, it kind of stuck there all by itself. And I thought it must have had some effect on him, you know. But not only that, I was kind of concerned because of his church affiliation and so forth. I thought, you know, where's he at? And the night before he passed away, he's kind of looking off into space, and his son said, what are you looking at, Dad? He said, I can see a bunch of clouds. And he said, well, you see anything in the clouds? He said, yeah, I can see the face of Jesus in the clouds. And he had a real peace. And I thought, you know what? There's going to be a lot of people in heaven that we're not going to be expecting. And there'll probably be some that aren't there that we did expect, you know. But somebody made a statement the other day. Oh, I don't remember what it was about, but I said, you know, a vital thing is the truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, he said, sanctify them in your truth. He's praying to the Father. sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And one of the things that we have to realize is that it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us. You can't just read the Bible and get it, because it doesn't happen. But the Holy Spirit will take it and reveal truth to us as we hear the Scriptures. And that's why there can be some weaknesses, even in translations. And it's obvious that if we get translations that are saying opposite things, that one of them is not right. Somebody's right, but somebody isn't. And so we don't put our confidence even in the written. The Bible says, or Jesus says, the letter kills. No, I don't know if he said that. And the Spirit gives life. Did he say that?
I don't know.
Where is that found?
I believe it was Jesus.
Huh?
I believe it is Jesus.
The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Yeah, that's in there. It's just who said it.
Yeah, who said it?
I believe it's Jesus.
Paul popped in there, but I don't know.
But it's not the accuracy of a translation. It's the accuracy of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's what we got to recognize.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit says, ah, they got the word wrong from the original Greek. I can't do anything with that. Yeah, come on now.
Yeah. So we came up with a thing that truth is what God meant by what He said. That's what truth is. Because His word is truth. Where's it found, Corky?
I think it's Paul, 2 Corinthians 3:6.
Yeah, that wouldn't be Jesus then.
Go show how much I know.
Who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
Okay. So we can get the letter out of the Word and get, just use the letter and end up in false doctrine.
2 Corinthians 3:6. Yeah, that's all the time.
That thing about Jerusalem last Sunday, that thing you're putting on, right? Have you sent it for a while? Well, it's on CNN.
Oh, CNN?
No, CNN.
Oh, CNN.
Anyway, they said something about Saul was the first king. And back then, the kings were told to write down the Bible. Although I suppose back then it was
a lot smaller.
Yeah, a lot smaller, and that thing had a roll off.
Scroll.
It's a scroll or something. So they were supposed to write down, copy it, and have it with them all the time. Carry it with them. And so then they're supposed to read it. I suppose that's how the Holy Spirit got to them, as far as what they were supposed to know back then. Because they had a copy of themselves. I guess I didn't realize that, but it was. But they always say, you remember it if you copy it better.
Yes.
Or whatever. But I just thought that was because it was practical. But anyway, and whether this was true or not, it was a movie.
one of the Psalms that says, if I should ever forget Jerusalem, may the my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth, you know.
You know, and actually even back then, they were hearing the word of the Lord, because every time they met in the synagogue, they read the word of God out loud. You know, just like we're hearing on the tape.
But they did want a king, a real king, instead of them.
Instead of God.
God tried to warn them what they're going to get them. And Saul was supposed to be a good man. Well, he made a mistake, and he got a little bit too powerful, and didn't want David to take over with this. He got jealous.
Yeah, which allowed the enemy to send demons to torment them.
Yeah, and David did the same thing when he made a mistake. And he lost one of his sons. But it's like, we're all so human. Human kings and make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Our air conditioning did something strange this morning, so hopefully it'll be fine next week.
It's on with the fan.
Yeah, we got the fans on.
Get the fans going.
It's actually comfortable.
Yeah. You're making a good point. Father warned him that setting up a man to be in charge of him so they could go bring their grievances to him is just putting a man in a position to not be able to overcome the temptations that the earth would provide him. And that ended up getting carried all the way through to the leaders of the synagogue. Worried about their position, and that's why they ended up crucifying Christ. I mean, it's like,
you know, back in this age, and what's happening today, you know, the taxation and everything, that's all out of that. And the riches are so rich, and the poorest are so poor. Will we ever learn? It must be a lesson in that somewhere.
First time since the professionals were playing, they were not allowed to stay in their separate villas away from the Olympic Athletes Center because of the COVID. And I'm sure they were thinking, this isn't fun. And they're all probably not going home. Back to their comforts.
I wonder how Simone Biles would be.
else you want to share today?
No.
Anybody else? Okay. Thank you all.